Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's been called the Obi-Wan Kenobi of small business.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. Jared Meyer's back. Jared's a great member of our Brain Trust, senior fellow at the Foundation for Government Accountability, author of a number of books, including How Progressive Cities Fight Innovation, Uber Positive, co-author along with our good friend Diana Frischgott-Roth of the book Disinherited. We talked about that before, how Washington betrays America's young people. And Jared Meyer, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
So you've been doing a lot of work recently on some of the progressive cities out there. Typically, one of the quick ways to pick them out is they're probably sanctuary cities. Also, they do things like have their own minimum wage and things like that. But these cities are like a lot of progressive policies and attitudes. In their attempt to help people, which is what they say and they think, they actually create more problems than they help. And you've been tracking a lot of that, haven't you?
Yes, and I would say that oftentimes when it comes to city laws that deal with economic issues, sometimes it's not even trying to help people. It's just a blatant attempt to protect special interests who have a disproportionate influence on the state level when you only have to convince, let's say, four members of a seven-member city council to get a protectionist law passed.
Like unions, like teachers' unions and people state government unions.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's face it, local elections, even though they matter quite a bit, don't have the same turnout that federal elections do.
Right.
So when you can get all the members of a union to go to the polls, that's going to be a pretty high level of influence on local policies. Or if you have homeowners, taxi cartels, members of occupations that want more occupational licensing laws, the list goes on and on. And when there's low turnout in local elections, it really allows the special interest to have a big voice in what goes on.
Well, you got to believe that that's what's happened when you go out, when you think about places like out in California, where some city managers are earning hundreds of thousands of dollars and people are able to retire at some ridiculous number at a ridiculously young age. And then of course, those cities, eventually they just go bankrupt, don't they?
Well, yeah, you have quite a few cities that have gone bankrupt throughout the country. But I think it's really where state lawmakers need to take their responsibilities seriously. Because don't get me wrong, I'm a defender of localism when it helps people earn a living and creates a more livable city, a growing city. But when local policies start to get in the way of residents' ability to support themselves and their families, that's when state lawmakers need to step in. And there's a big difference between federalism and localism. While federalism is protected by the Constitution and states really created the U.S. government, localities get all their power from states. So every time a city does something, it's only because state lawmakers are letting it happen.
Well, but of course, then you've got many cities, many progressive cities, that are in states where the legislatures, the governments of those states are progressive themselves. California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, and on. You've got all these states, not all of them. For example, Raleigh, North Carolina, is probably a progressive state in a red state, something like that. You could give those examples. But these are places where they bollocks up innovation. They're not entrepreneurial. They're not friendly to entrepreneurs, who are the job creators, and yet they claim the irony is the progressive attitude requires a lot of money to do their job, but they're antagonistic toward the people who create the revenue.
Yeah, here's a crazy story. So in Nashville, Tennessee, another progressive city in a very red state,
right?
They had this pushback against people working from home, getting business licenses if they're working out of their house. And in Nashville, you know, quite a few people work in the music industry.
Right.
So people who installed a recording studio in their basement and then wanted to have that recording studio ended up getting shut down by the city. And this had nothing to do with, you know, blaring rock music at all hours of the night. It just had to do with the city saying, you know what, we have the power to say no, and that's what we're going to do. Think about the irony of that, folks.
Think about the progressive overriding irony of that, what he just said happening in a place called Music City. How about that? We'll take a quick break, 20 till right back with Jared Meyer. Got more stories like this, folks. You're not going to believe some of them. And what we're trying to get across is you got to show up and vote. You got to pay attention to what's going on in your communities. 20 Tales, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.